Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
Good evening and good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. So this evening, as I'm recording it here on the East Coast time, it is the evening, I'm catching up with a young lady and storytelling professional that we got connected through another mutual person, because if you guys have listened to past episodes, I do enjoy networking, and you never know who we're going to come across next, and it's really been actually giving you guys great co-hosts and great new content to listen to on the show, because I get to know more about these people as I stumble across them. And luckily, she and I at least had a quick intro session a couple weeks ago just to really catch up a little bit and make sure she was going to fit the format for you guys, because we want to be delivering value. And that's really what marketing is all about too. So even though we talk about health, business, and lifestyle, we might be leaning a little more towards the business and marketing stuff because, as I already hinted at, she's a bit of a storytelling professional, okay? So without further ado, I'm going ahead and bring her on because her website is her name. Welcome to the show, Kylie Slavik.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm excited to be catching back up with you. Actually, you literally just updated me that besides living in California, you are finally truly becoming a Californian by learning how to surf.
Well, I have been here since January, so it's time to catch up with the locals.
Slacker, you haven't been doing it. Wait, so when was the first lesson?
I'm just starting this week.
Okay, so you haven't even done it yet?
Not yet.
Oh, I thought you actually meant you actually took at least one lesson.
No, I'm just super excited. You asked me what's new in my world, and I said I'm going to learn how to surf, so.
Well, kudos to you. I love it. Yeah. It's, I mean, you could probably relate. Anytime you take on something new, it could be scary, it could be challenging, but isn't that what life's all about? Aren't we supposed to be challenging ourselves?
I think so. I like to do that. I don't like to get too bored.
Well, and for your point, it also adds to storytelling, right? Like,
totally.
If you keep challenging yourself and adding new stuff to the story, you never run out of things to really talk about. And you keep adding new chapters to the book, so to speak.
That is very true.
Yeah. So you and I connected because of another young lady. And really more of your life, I guess, not really my life. She and I kind of stumbled across each other too. And then she's like, you've got to talk to Kylie. And okay. I was like, yeah, sure. And why do I need to talk to her? And she's like, she so helped my business. So that was your own little testimonial there. But why don't you catch us, our listeners, up on how you stumbled across me? I can tell it for you, but this is a two-way street here. This is co-hosting, man. Like, you jumped on it too, by the way. There was no delay.
I am quick. I'm quick to reply if something resonates. And I, you know, Allie, yeah, a client of mine introduced us, and that's how I stumbled across you. And of course, you know, we're all selective about who do we connect with, and are things aligned, right? Because if they're not, they're not. And that's okay too. But what I really appreciated about you is that, and I shared this with you, is that you're talking about business and lifestyle and health. And for me, it's all the same. Like, I've seen a lot of entrepreneurs that just go so hard into business that they neglect their relationships and they neglect their health. And for me, that's not the path that I want to go down personally. And it's not the path I encourage my clients to go down either. And so I really like that you put those things together. I think it's really crucial.
Well, yeah, you and I were definitely vibing. And that's why I was like a no-brainer to say, yeah, you're totally coming on the show. Because, and for our listeners, guys, she's referring to Allie Walter. She was episode 79. And we actually titled that one, Your Holistic Business Oracle, because those are some of the key words that she's trying to live by to help inspire and make changes in other people's healthy business practices. Would you say that's a very short story overview of what she does?
Absolutely. And she's been really, really successful in different industries, but because she had an issue with her horse and she needed alternative treatments, it inspired her to move into a different niche.
How crazy is that, right? Like,
okay,
who would ever expect? Okay. And my fiance is actually a horse vet. So funny connection there, but I was like, who would expect your horse or your pet? It could be a cat, dog, anything to trigger such a massive shift and what you choose to do in your business and obviously potentially the rest of your life.
Absolutely. I know.
And like, so I guess just to catch our listeners up, like, what would you say at the highest level, how she basically found your help and like what really I guess you could say what you felt was the most impactful for you working with her? Because obviously people think, oh, well, you're her coach or whatever you want to call it. And then she's the client. And then it's like, mm-hmm. oh, well, it's really what she wanted out of it. But also you benefit from relationships like these too, right?
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. I think, you know, I believe that she was referred to me by a mutual friend. And there was a day that I put a post up on my Facebook page in December. And I said, I'm going to take somebody on for a year, only one of you. And if that's you, send me a video. And so I got about 12 videos. And I chose to work with somebody who I had already been working with, who had taken many of my group coaching programs. And I was like, this is going to be really good. So, but Allie ended up buying a different kind of package from me. And because she submitted a video, and her video was very emotional. It was very emotionally moving. She shared the story about her horse, and she shared how, you know, she had grown this. It was either a gravel or a cement company from basically being bankrupt into the multi-millions or the millions. And yeah, I was like,
wasn't she connected through like an ex relationship or something?
Yeah.
And
then
she, I think there's so many people we talked to. Asphalt company.
It was asphalt. You're right. So I was really impressed with her ability to grow companies across niches. She had worked in the food truck niche and cement and all these random things. And because I come from a holistic background, I used to be a massage therapist, and I've done a lot of different things like that. And I've done a lot of training in that space. I was really excited to see somebody with her offline and brick and mortar business prowess wanting to come into a space that's so near and dear to my heart and so important to me and so important, I believe, to the future of our world and planet, but oftentimes lacks the critical skills that you need to make it in other industries. So I saw a real opportunity for both of us to work together in a powerful way.
Well, and let's be real also, because a big part of the target audience of this show is I'm that Gen X guy, X-Gen, whatever you want to call it, marketing. And then you got, really, you ladies are both technically millennials, right?
I'm much older than I look. Okay. I think I'm an X. Yeah, I'm 37.
You're on my cusp. Okay, I'm 39. So, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then kudos to you, okay? But the point here, though, is that both of our domains, both of our age demographics do overlap these days, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of Gen Xers have gotten into leadership, management, or business ownership roles already in our late 30s, 40s, which is our generation. And then we're looking to either partner with, work with, or have people hire us that are maybe young, up and coming, you know, the more millennial, independent, or even just from an employee role relationship like her generation. And a lot of people nowadays are like, oh, well, this new generation, the millennials, man, they're crazy. They're wild. Like some people call them lazy. Other people say, well, I don't understand why they feel like everything they have to have is purpose. And it's like, well, shouldn't we all want that like a little bit more purposeful work in our life? And
totally. It's
like, why are you blaming it on one generation? It's just if you think about it, they're a product of all the relationships all the generations prior to them. And if anything, they are actually a better version of ourselves. We just had to figure out how to work together and how to help them accomplish that. And I love that, because the fact that she's already succeeded at her level in her age demographic and has found a choice to just make that holistic step at such mm-hmm. an earlier generation. I'm just blown away by that.
Totally. Yeah, me too.
Now, are you finding that with most of your clients and most of your relationships, is that pretty much what you're targeting for your storytelling type of support and what you do nowadays?
In terms of the holistic niche?
Yeah.
I started there, and I started to realize that a lot of the majority of the people that I tried to work with in that field, they didn't want the nitty-gritty marketing stuff. And I am really, like, digital marketing is just in my blood. I'm really into the more granular stuff. And so I left that niche and I started working primarily with coaches, which isn't too far off, but typically with coaches we see a little more ambition in terms of, I want to make a lot of money, I want global impact, where maybe an acupuncturist, massage therapist, like, I want to have a really good practice, but they didn't really want to learn about marketing funnels or how to, you know, so they're still
really restricted into that their brick and mortar niche, and they haven't leveled up to the, okay, you're technically still just like an employee. You're exchanging your time for money. They haven't mm-hmm. reached the digital marketing niche that you're niched into, which is like, guys, like, you can grow not just your advertising and marketing, but if you start recording content mm-hmm. and building an online brand now you could potentially be generating funnels and training programs anywhere. The beauty of the online digital content. So,
and actually I've circled back. I did 10 years in the digital marketing space since then. And I have circled back around. I do have one membership site for the healers and holistic people. And it seems like from 10 years ago till now, they are having a different conversation with themselves about their readiness. So it's really cool. Like there's a psychic medium, in fact, in one of my membership sites who we taught to do Facebook lead ads. And she started doing them and she started booking clients in every city she was in just from doing that. So there's been a significant shift there. But when I started, it was like pulling teeth.
Well, why would you say it's like that? Why do you think the whole pulling teeth thing? Because I'm interested to hear your feedback because I've worked with holistic practitioners or I tried to. Mm-hmm. Wow. I'll let you respond first.
Yeah, well, it was. And I mean, those are my people. So I love them and I support them. And when I first started, I just found that what I was trying to share with them, they were just like, we don't want that. We want to know the basics on how to get a few more clients and that's it.
Right.
And even raising their prices was really hard. And now I have people that are doubling their prices and really understanding. And I think what shifted, and I've had a few conversations with people that have pretty big holistic entrepreneur training companies. And we've talked about what the shift is. And I think that for this demographic of people, which I am definitely a part of, there is an urgency in the world that they feel like they're willing to overcome their resistance to marketing and business, which a lot of healers do have that. They're willing to overcome it because they see a need for what they're really good at in the world because they are concerned politically about certain things or because they just feel a different level of urgency of like, oh, wow, like I need to get it together and contribute my skill set so that we can all, you know, grow and solve challenges and things like that.
Well, I'm interested to hear your feedback here because 2 years ago, again, I support all forms of health. I will not, you don't knock it till you try it type of thing. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I've gotten more holistic. I am big supporter mm-hmm. of chiropractic care, massage mm-hmm. therapy. I'm literally, mm-hmm. before I came in for this meeting, I had just done a big road cycling event, a metric century for colon cancer a week or so ago. Mm-hmm. And I was going back through my little, you know, goodie bag they give you at the event. And I was like, oh, there's a coupon here for a special code to go try a new masseuse. Never even heard of him. So I'm going to be researching mm-hmm. him tonight because I love just, I still have my regular people, you know, that mm-hmm. I'm loyal to, but I love experimenting and meeting new business people and seeing how they're mm-hmm. doing things differently. But I will say 2 years ago, I took out a client. It was outside of my niche. And interesting business model, but basically this one woman had her own house that due to her own health issues, it inspired her to basically convert her house into more of a business. Like it was a big mm-hmm. house and then decided to start allowing healthy, you know, wellness practitioners to come in and rent space and run their businesses out of that facility. And then it basically turned into a wellness center. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing that I found from them was that, like to your point, I think they feel guilty or lacking, so to speak, of willingness to generate income. Like some of these people, I can't tell them, like, why am I here? Well, I had a big like community meeting with them. And they said, well, we're trying to learn little ideas of how to advertise our business a little bit better or get more foot traffic, just like you said. And I said, well, obviously, so the end result here is to make more money, right? Mm-hmm. And they said, well, no, we want to help more people. Mm-hmm. And I said,
that's
well,
it's yeah.
like, I agree. I'm not taking away from that. But in the end, in order for you to help more people, don't you also have to survive, afford to pay your bills, afford to pay the rent, afford to pay for the advertising and marketing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I was like, the biggest thing that I found that I ended up turning myself into a coach and I ended up ending that contract. I was like, you guys, we're not cohesive here at all was they just would not accept the fact that I was trying to teach them how to also make more money more efficiently mm-hmm. so they can do more of what they wanted to do. And they just could not make that connection, man. I was like, wow, this is harsh. I had never experienced that before. And it sounds like this is something you totally understand.
Yeah, I've seen changes in it. And I think that people that are more empathy driven, more sensitive, that are more likely to get into these fields, they have more resistance to money because of Well, there's various reasons, but essentially there's been, you know, a lot of abuse of power through money throughout the last 6,000 years on the planet. And I think that people that are attracted to being holistic practitioners are more sensitive to it. So, so I just do a lot of reframing with them about, you know, about that. And it's great.
It's totally a reframing issue.
It's just a reframe.
And I, admittedly, like it's actually, there's a lot of people out there, not just from the holistic perspective, who have issues with money. Let's be real. Like I didn't grow up with a lot. I grew up on a farm and I had to pay my own way through school to go to college and stuff like that. Like, so I always, years ago, I always looked at wealth as well. It's like, oh, those other people, you know,
I'm the blue collar kid.
And it's taken me years of my own reframing and working with other coaches to realize, like, Scott, the only difference between you and them is that they've succeeded at what they've been working hard at doing, or their family did maybe one to two generations before them. So is it really fair for me to associate a negative connotation to that current generation who's succeeding with that business? Because there was a groundwork laid that got them to that point. And people, I think a lot of people forget to see that. Like, hey, everybody's businesses probably started very, very small before they got very, very big. And we just see sometimes them big and powerful and rich and successful. And a lot of people see that as sometimes a negative. And, I mean, like I said, I myself have had to do my own reframing around those things as well as I become my own entrepreneur. Because in the end, I was like, yeah, if I want to have the freedom, the time freedom, the location freedom, the financial freedom, like you have to embrace money as a positive tool, especially if you're using it in a purposeful way. So, and that's that reframing that I've experienced.
Absolutely.
So have you, do you find that comes up more these days or less now that you've, you know, shifted your business? You said you like to work more with coaches, you said. So
I have been, I have clients that are, you know, people that are just starting out online all the way to eight figure companies. And most of them, what they have in common with each other is that they want to make a difference in the world in a positive way. And they feel that business is the way to do it. So since that is my typical client at this point, I don't have a lot of resistance around money coming into my world anymore. And I don't have a lot of resistance around money either. So that's another thing, you know, and I'm not saying I did 10 years ago, but I certainly had a different level of conversation around money with my own self.
So let's dig into that a little bit. Like how would you say it shifted? Like, let's go back 10 years to maybe 2 years ago. Like, do you have an example of what that was like? Because I'm intrigued. It's very interesting. Yeah.
For me or someone else, or for my people?
Like for you, for example, like you said, you definitely, if you had to go back 10 years ago to what you were thinking about and how you embraced it versus today.
Sure. Well, I think what shifted for me was I saw how much money what I was doing was making for other people. And then I started needing them to give me more money. And it just was like a natural progression. So I started out in this industry teaching holistic practitioners. I realized that they didn't really want what I had and I got frustrated, but then I decided to work for coaching companies. I became a content manager. I became a affiliate and launch strategist and manager. I started doing Facebook ads. And in one of my campaigns, that was pretty much a total anomaly in the women's coaching industry. We did $2.5 million in 12 weeks. And then I was like, okay, I need you to double the money that you're paying me.
I was hoping you were going to bring this up because mind blowing. Yeah. It's like, I wonder what you were getting paid when that happened.
I ended up having, you know, a really good salary plus percentage in launch ownership with that company. But I started to see my value as an affiliate manager, as a joint venture manager, managing over 200 partners in a launch and seeing the money that came in so fast. I was like, wait a minute, you guys, you know, like this needs to,
without me, this wouldn't happen.
I started to see my value and I started to understand that how I'm getting paid needs to increase based on the value I'm creating in the marketplace. And I guess before I was thinking of myself as more of like a monthly retainer or an hourly earner. And then I was like, oh, hell no. Like, I'm getting a percentage of this, you know?
It's funny because I'm the same way. Whereas my biggest client right now, I do sales and marketing and business development for them. And I do a lot of travel for them because they're like a sales rep firm for the whole Northeast from like Delaware to Maine. And I've been helping manage the entire upstate New York for them because they haven't been able to get good talent up there. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, listen, in my contract, you're definitely giving me a percentage of the sales.
Yeah,
I mean, because if I leave, you get to keep all that. So while I'm managing this for you, besides my normal contract, you're getting me a little taste because I'm basically a sales guy as well for you, besides, you know, managing that business unit for you. So it's interesting because, and I think what you and I have learned, and I think a lot of people, this isn't, and for our listeners, guys, this isn't just, oh, we're talking about entrepreneurs, right? This goes for you as an employee too, right? Like a lot of us, I think, are, until you reach that point like you did, I think they're afraid to ask for what they're worth.
That's what it is, or they don't really understand what they're worth because they're going on the rates that other people are charging instead of thinking about what they're actually doing for their clients. And most of them are epically talented. And so it's really, that's something we learn in marketing. That's something we learn in sales, is that you price based on the perceived value of the customer, but that's not something they teach you in massage school, you know? So
I have a lot of friends of mine that are, I don't want to call them struggling, but the entrepreneurial masseuse, you know, they got a lot to learn, to say that. I mean, until you're thrown into an entrepreneurial role, you don't know about taxes. And like, even when I became an entrepreneur, I didn't know, oh, I got to set aside money to prepay estimated quarterly taxes. Like, never had to do that before.
Totally.
Lesson learned. So, well, it's interesting because, you know, fast forward to today. I don't think you'll probably ever step into a situation where you don't know probably what to charge, right? I think you're pretty confident where you're at.
I feel confident. It does definitely show up as I stretch and grow, but it doesn't, you know, I have access to people that help me with that kind of stuff. Sometimes when I move into an area that I've never been in before and I don't really know, then, you know, I work it out.
Well, it's interesting because now, like your website, for example, and again, for our listeners, guys, check her out at KylieSlavik.com. It's K-Y-L-I-E and then Slavik, S-L-A-V-I-K. Again, this is always in our show notes. It'll be on the website. But like right when you go to your site, you call yourself, it's Story Alchemy, right? Digital marketing for visionaries. So why did you choose that verbiage? Only because this is my marketing mind and I always like to get more of that why behind that, because some people like alchemy, I think science or experimentation or formulation, right? So, and obviously story, because you and I understand marketing, it's like, well, yeah, storytelling is crucial. So like, why did you choose that terminology? And what are you trying to immediately, when people come to your site, what are you trying to get through to them?
So the Story Alchemy was the first free course that I ever made, and it just came to me. I have no idea why, but it became a part of my brand, and every digital course that I have launched ever since then has had the word alchemy in it. And last year I ended up getting a real alchemist as a client in LA. They actually do alchemy in a lab. And now
only in California.
Well, they're actually in Taos, New Mexico.
Oh, but I love Taos.
But yeah, I became friends with Alchemist, and it's pretty amazing stuff. And as it turns out, it really fits with my brand based on what alchemy really is. And so that's that. In terms of the digital marketing for visionaries, I felt like it was broad enough that if somebody thinks of themselves as a visionary and they know they need digital marketing, then they're cool. You know, we're cool. If they resonate with the rest of what they see on my site, then they may get in touch with me. They may not. I don't really work with people. I don't want to work with people who aren't super inspired. So if someone doesn't really see themselves as a visionary, they're not a good client for me. You know, whether or not they are a visionary, I need them to see themselves as one. Otherwise I'm not going to invest all of my time and talent into helping them, because it's a lot of energy to pour into people when you're working with them in their marketing. And so I need to know that they're invested in a bigger vision.
Yeah. And since you're saying this, I'm actually going to share your screen here. so people can see the website on the YouTube feed when we publish this, but here it is: Story Alchemy, digital marketing for visionaries. The keyword there, visionaries. So I'm glad you're bringing that up, because I've had to learn that over the years too. And I'm actually trying to teach that to my fiance with her veterinary business, is that everybody I think has that one or two clients that is just the pain in the butt, right? And you're laughing because you know what I'm talking about.
I don't have them anymore.
Not anymore.
I've learned.
You just told us. You're looking for, you only want to work with people who truly understand, they have some inspiration. They've taken the time to say they actually know maybe the backstory to why they're doing what they're doing, but they need mm-hmm. you to help bring that out and create the digital content, right? So mm-hmm. you're almost looking for somebody who has been inspired by their own story and they've got that fuel for the fire, like Allie when she came to you in that video and like had all that emotion. And I'm glad you put that on your site because you're really trying to get through to people like, listen, if you don't even understand what the word visionary means, you're definitely probably not going to be right for you.
Totally.
And I think a lot of us are afraid to, I don't know, fire a client, so to speak. Not, you know, let's say you've already taken them on. Like, obviously, you said you've already fast forward beyond that. But it's funny because I was literally listening to a podcast today from the Profit First podcast. And he's a famous author, Mike Michalowicz. He wrote The Profit First. It's a great for financial accounting for entrepreneurs. But one of his entrepreneurial books he wrote was called The Pumpkin Plan. And in The Pumpkin Plan, he refers to how picture like a vine with pumpkins growing on it. And they talk about how if you spread yourself out too wide, too thin, all the pumpkins, so to speak, as in customers, as in businesses, will suffer because now that plant is sending energy to all of them. Whereas you got to learn how to trim, like these master pumpkin growers, right? They figure out which ones are going to be that prize pumpkin or two or three, and they trim off the rest. And it's interesting. It's a great book, but I think it totally relates to what you're talking about from a visionary standpoint. It's like, have you taken on too much? Are you chasing the money too much and you just see the paycheck and then you realize, oh my God, this person is like sucking the life out of me. And now you're losing the inspiration behind what you're doing. I mean, what would you talk to that?
I don't do it anymore. I mean, there was a place in my beginning of my career as a marketer where I just took on every project because I didn't have any discernment. I just was excited that I was making way more money as a massage therapist. And I just thought I could take on everything. And as time went on, I just started to refine. I want to work with people who are willing to do the work, who aren't going to complain, who are making a positive impact in the world, who may not understand all this marketing stuff, but they're not afraid of it, who don't resist money. Like it just became more and more refined over time. And now, I mean, I say no way more than I say yes to projects and to people, but I'm really happy with every project that's on my plate.
You know, it's interesting. There's a lot of quotes that are thrown around behind what you and I are talking about right now, because like people like Gary Vaynerchuk and other these big online guys or girls or professionals, basically they talk about how, oh, well, just say yes and you'll figure it out later. And but what you and I are talking about, it's like, okay, fine. I will say yes to take on a meeting virtually. And like, I don't even do the coffee chat anymore. Like, dude, you're not going to get me in person unless we've already had a pre-qualifying chat. Like, I'm not going to drive somewhere to go meet with you and become your buddy over coffee because it could have been an hour waste of my time. Like, I'm all about building relationships, but if, to your point, if you've established an inspirational, you know, message, a vision behind what you're trying to do, and I think that's what I think a lot of us are guilty of when we were younger or when we're coming into this stuff. It's like, to your point and to my point, I can agree with you, is that you're excited to take on contracts. You're like, sweet, that person wants to pay me money. Yes. And it's like, well, maybe I should have qualified that.
Totally.
Now it's like, it's 3 to 4 months later. And one of my clients, I was like, hey, guy, I was like, hey, like, you're not paying me to generate the blog content for you. Where's your blog content? I'm like, oh, here's a couple points. Just throw it together. I'm like, dude, that's a lot more money than what you're paying me. Like, you're not paying me to generate content. You generate the content. I will help get it out there and figure that out. So yeah. And that's a client that I fired. And people are like, how do you fire clients? I'm like, it's actually really easy. And sometimes I take pleasure in that. I don't recommend it. But again, to your point, eventually you mature and it sounds like you've grown to the point where now you say you're pretty consistent now. Like, you're not really getting bogged down by that type of issue anymore. You've pretty much figured out your qualifiers.
I have applications on my site for everything, so you can't buy anything from me without me talking to you first. And even the questions on my application, I can usually tell if this is someone I want to have a conversation with or not. And then on the conversation, I can tell if this is going to be a good fit. And most of the time, it's not. You know, 95% of the time, it's not. But that's okay, because I don't need a lot of clients and I don't want a lot of clients. I just want a few really good ones, and that's what I have.
Well, and I do like that because – and actually, I'm going to go ahead and – share screen again, because one thing that I was very impressed by your site was you don't let them dig too deep, right? Like, for example, oh, you want to work with her? Work with me. And this is exactly what you're talking about. You know, she's got some good content here, but then, oh, brand storyboard, VIP intensive, you must apply now. And down here, done for you, brand or personal origin, apply now. So that's what you're referring to, right? Your application. You want them to feel like they have to apply to qualify to work with you.
Well, yeah, it's yes. I'm not going to sell something because all my work is high touch. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to sell something to someone that it's not just about qualifying to see if I want to work with them. It's really looking to see if it's a good fit for both of us. So it might be a good fit for them and not for me. It might be a good fit for me and not for them. And I'm looking for all of that because I want it to be really, really great experience for everybody that comes into my world. And I need to be happy with them and they need to be happy with me. And I'm pretty good at this point at figuring that out. I've coached probably tens of thousands of people globally. So I have a really good sense of who somebody is in the first 5 minutes. And then I'm like, okay.
Well, give us a taste of that. Like 5 minutes, that's pretty strong. That's pretty confident. Like, do you have like a common question you would normally use or a qualifying question just to help break the wall down? Because 5 minutes is a good turnaround time. That's pretty good filtering.
I work with archetypes. And so there's really, from my perspective, like how I build my story strategies is all around archetypes. Mm-hmm. So from my perspective, there's really only 12 different sort of personalities, and I can kind of tell, okay, this person is falling into this camp, and then I can dig a little I can ask them a few questions that I think they're going to say yes to, and then that's very revealing. Do they say yes? Do they say no? And I know the qualities, like if someone's a hero warrior, that's a great client for me, and I love that because that archetype is I'm going to get it done. You know, they don't really let obstacles get in their way, and they're not going to be complainers. They're not going to ask for a refund, and they're going to be powerful influencers in the world. And so I know that that's a great client for me. Whereas maybe like a nurturer, that archetype, that's not going to be a good client for me because they like to take care of everyone else and put themselves last. So I know that the work we're doing together is going to be put on the back burner. I know I'm going to have to persuade them to spend money on themselves. And I'm like, forget it. So that's part of it.
So what made you stumble across or really invest into the studying the archetypes? Was that something that you kind of already, I think it being a massage therapist, you can also not just physically feel, but also mentally mm-hmm. feel and connect with people. I know because I have friends mm-hmm. that are masseuses and they talk about this mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it's like the same thing I have these same conversations as yoga. So it's what made you, how did you stumble across the archetypes? Was that just already in you or you mm-hmm. just realized, man, I got to connect this together. And archetypes is going to be the way it's going to help me do this.
Well, I have an English degree and I studied literature and psychology very intensively. And it was something that came up a lot in college that when I started doing business and marketing, I started noticing, oh, like corporations are using this in their branding and coaches are not. Why? And all multi-million and billion-dollar companies are using this in their branding. They're using it in their commercials. They're using it in their brand story. But smaller businesses are not. And so I try to bridge that gap. I just saw the opportunity. I was like, well, if they're doing it, then there's a reason and it makes sense. And it's because it's such deep psychology that's really inside all of us that when, you know, an oil company uses an archetype in their branding, people get real emotional loyalty, even though they maybe don't care about the actual product. Right. And I started to see that and I was like, how can I use that sort of magic for good? You know, that's what I think about all the time.
No, it's good. It's kind of funny how you said use it for good because you are correct. I mean, you and I have that in common. When I went back to school on nights and weekends to finish my degree, I did a BS in marketing and psychology. Mm-hmm. And I never planned on even doing the psychology thing. Mm-hmm. I was originally an engineer in the 90s and that studying that. Then when I went back at school, I was doing a dual major in IT and marketing because I love the technology. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I started taking some like, just fill in some classes. I took philosophy, then I took psychology, and I started acing the classes. And I'm like, huh, something's clicking. Mm-hmm. Then I made the connection on psychology and marketing, and I'm like, oh my God, yeah. Because
it's so much overlap.
Just like
yeah.
you said, there's so much yeah. overlap. It's marketing is psychology. If you're doing it right, you're mm-hmm. trying to understand your consumer, and mm-hmm. and you want the consumer to understand how to connect back to like you just said, like the company who's doing the selling or the marketing. So, and these archetypes is exactly what you're talking about. I love it. So I was hoping you'd make that connection because I'm like, yes, I can geek out on some psychology real quick.
Totally. Yeah. I would consider my marketing style to be much more based in psychology than it is marketing. I don't have a lot of direct response advertising training, but I still have multi-million dollar campaigns. And it was because the person reading the ads felt that they were being understood and spoken directly to instead of persuaded or tricked or manipulated, which not all direct response is that way, obviously, right? But there has been a misuse of direct response by some people people feel they feel a defensiveness when they see that kind of languaging. And so I just came in as more of a common person who understands people really deeply because of the psychology, who could then speak directly to people and give them that feeling of like, hey, I'm sitting in the living room with you right now having a conversation. And that's why my campaigns worked. Whereas, you know, if I had tried strategies and tactics, I might not be sitting here talking to you right now because I probably wouldn't have done so well.
Interesting way of putting that. Yeah. It's like, I wouldn't be having my own brand, have my own business, have 8-figure companies. Yeah.
My unfair advantage has been my lack of training and direct response. That's what I believe.
Well, and let's be real. There's a great book that I recommend to a lot of clients for their clients or their employees, whatever, called StrengthsFinder 2.0. You ever read it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've seen it, but I haven't read it.
It's based on, I mean, you know about all the different psychological tests you can give employees and companies and blah, blah, blah. Long story short, it's got all those algorithms built into their online site for the book. But real quick on that, StrengthsFinder 2.0, Mark McGrath, I think that's his name, the author. It's in my library, but you have to physically buy the book because when you open it, you have a one-time use online code to build your online profile. And you're not supposed to read the book first. You actually go online and take their test.
Oh, that's cool.
And then the test will then spit out your top 4 or 5 strengths. Mm-hmm. Then you go back to the book and you only read those chapters that are titled after your strengths. The whole point of it is, for years, especially in schooling, in our archaic educational program, they're constantly trying to get you to work on your weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And it's like every single person, every single one of us have some natural occurring strengths or things that just developed a lot faster and a lot easier for us, like for you, for example. So it's like, if you're not really good at direct response marketing, who cares? All you gotta do is outsource that piece of that campaign. Mm-hmm. That's just a different person on the team. And they still have to come through you to get stuff done. But it's like, you can just hire, you could outsource that or I could outsource that. Totally. So it's like, okay, yeah. For me, I like to still read up, study up, and understand what it's all about. But in the end, is it worth a ton of time for me to become the guru? No. I'd rather hire the guru on that project team.
Sure.
So I love that book because it really gets people to focus very simplistic. Like, listen, man, these are your top 4 or 5 strengths, aka personality types. And those chapters relate it in multiple domains. They can relate it to you as an employee, to you as a boss, to you as a business owner. They even have sections in there, you know, helping you figure. Well, maybe remember the old book, What Color is Your Umbrella?
Mm-hmm.
You know, personal development, trying to help people figure out what they're supposed to go. Mm-hmm. Long story short is, if you're going to invest time in your personal and your professional development, which I'm a huge advocate of, wouldn't it be nice to have a direction saying, well, if I'm already strong in these areas, let's fortify that. Whatever I'm weak in, I'll just hire somebody for that. And that's how I use that book nowadays. It's been a great book. I love going back to that. But yeah, StrengthsFinder 2.0 is an awesome tool. So, and again, heavily based on psychology.
Yeah,
so.
Totally. Great.
Yeah.
I'll read it. Next time I see it, I won't just look at it. I'll actually pick it up.
Well, and again, and the funny thing is people are selling used on Amazon. I'm like, oh, that's so rude because great. Someone's going to buy it and they're going to read all of these strengths. And then it's like, oh, I can't go do the test. So
that's a bummer.
And you're supposed to do the test. It's like that's the whole
rude
point.
Yeah. You need to go in the comments and be like, you're so rude.
Yeah. I've actually done that one time.
Don't buy this book.
I was like, God, I left a tip. I didn't do it in a negative way, in a positive energy. I was like, listen, guys, like, I was like, if you guys see this, cool, but make sure you buy the new. Don't click on the use because you need the code because it's
amazing.
Such a great book. And, and I'm sure you're the same way. When you come across something that's so powerful and potentially life-changing and that could really impact somebody, just like what you and I are from that holistic mindset, it's like, just if I could leave a positive tip and one person reads it and it could potentially mm-hmm. send them in the right direction, mm-hmm. it was worth the 30 seconds to click and type it.
Totally.
And that's how I look at it.
Hey, I'm with you on that for sure.
But so many people are, I think, are, I don't know, it's kind of easy to fall to the negative wayside, I guess. And I keep trying to teach people, I'm like, guys, like, just take that deep breath and pause. And it's like, okay, did I have to go there? No. Let's go back to the positive.
Pause for a second here.
Yeah. Well, because again, like just like we talked about, right? Like this is, you're going to be airing next week, I think. So you're 80 some, almost 90 episodes now. And it's like, man, like I can't believe how fast this has happened in less than a year.
It's amazing. Yeah. Good for you. It's awesome.
And I'm glad to have you in there because I never realized that if I had to go back just high level, not even looking at the statistics, even though we talk about health, business, and lifestyle, and I'm trying to marry those three domains to teach people balance and why all three feed off of each other, and I'm glad it clicks with you. Amelia, it's funny because I'd say more of the co-hosts who have come on, we end up heavily focusing on the healthy lifestyle aspect, and business falls mm-hmm. to the third. Mm-hmm. So even though in order it's health, business, lifestyle, it's like, well, let's the top two rungs are really the health and the lifestyle, and then your business benefits from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've heard from Allie, and that's what mm-hmm. I've heard from you now, right? Mm-hmm. This holistic mm-hmm. mindset. So mm-hmm. I guess if people are listening to this, and whether they're an entrepreneur or maybe somebody who's like a part-time hustler, you know, just maybe trying to find their way, how is there any kind of tip that you would give them? Like, hey, man, like I've been on this whole, you were already on the holistic path being, you know, a masseuse, a healer. Mm-hmm. So you had a little bit of an advantage. How would you help somebody understand that who's not really at your client level yet, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bridge between everything in digital marketing, everything in healing, everything in success, lifestyle, to me really does come down to story. So I would tell them to, if you don't know the best next steps, start sharing your story. You're going to find that people are going to be inspired. And from that inspiration, you're going to be able to start to see who are the good ideal clients for you. You know, the people that resonate with you are your people. So just being really real, being really honest, don't necessarily follow what everybody else says you need to do. I do things really differently in my business than most of the internet marketing gurus. And my clients come to me because they find that they need somebody who can really look at where they're at and look at where they want to go and not just give them a cookie cutter system or template and like really be with them in their world and their goals and get them there. And so you'll find that just being authentic and sharing that story is going to give you some really good feedback on who you should be working with and what they really need from you. And then, like you said, you know what your strengths are. Like, is there a strength match with what your audience really needs? Because if there is, then follow that path because that's where the money is going to be for you too.
You know, I'm glad you went to that point because number one, you're not just channeling the strength that you were already at. And a lot of people don't know. And that's why I love that book. Some people don't, they don't know what their strengths are. It's
yeah.
like, because I give away a free guide on my site. I wrote it, God, over 2 years ago. Now I literally have it sitting here printed out because I need to go back over and update everything in it and release a version 2. But it's one of the books in there mm-hmm. because I don't care who you are. It's like, if you have never taken the time to really document what your strengths are or what mm-hmm. you just kind of said, like, hey, start telling your story, see who's resonating with it. And don't maybe not listen to everything that everybody else is telling you what to do. Like really start listening mm-hmm. to what is resonating with you and what feels mm-hmm. right. And then obviously mm-hmm. find a coach or a mentor or somebody
totally.
To help you start developing that because I don't care who you are. Like, in order for me to launch this podcast, I purposely went back into a coaching program just to help turn this around and get this up and running because mm-hmm. I felt like I was spinning my wheels and I really wanted to get it off the ground. So it's like, you want to get some momentum, get a coach.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And here's another little tip. I want to hear if you agree on this. Shouldn't all coaches also have a coach?
I totally get that. You know, I don't want to impose anything on people, but I do think it makes sense. If you're like doing healing work, you should be getting healing work. If you're doing coaching work, you should be getting coaching because it just keeps the channels a little bit cleaner. It just keeps things, you know, I believe coaching is a huge service. And if you're just like, oh, I'm calling the shots all the time and I know everything, like if you stop learning, for the most part, yeah, if you stop learning, I believe that decreases what you can do for your clients.
Well, and also, what are you teaching your client?
Exactly.
Right? You want them to come, you want them to use you, right, as a coach to develop mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, okay, well, what have I been with you for a year or two?
Totally.
Like I'm in process of changing coaches over the past 2 months because mm-hmm. I still haven't found the right one that's resonating with me, but I'm looking at a couple of them and I'm just letting it naturally flow. But mm-hmm. I basically used up the old coach. Like it was like, that worked great 2 years ago. It's just not clicking anymore. And I was mm-hmm. ready to move on. And mm-hmm. it was hard. It was weird mm-hmm. for me, but I was like, if I felt like I'm just not getting enough out of that, it's okay. Sometimes mm-hmm. you got to grow and you got to move on. And I'm sure you've had clients the same way.
Totally. Coaches and clients. Absolutely.
Yeah. And Emily, my coach was cool because he was like, listen, he's like, you're right. He's like, I think you're ready for the next step. And he even said, he's like, listen, he's like, here's a couple of guys that I respect, one of which used to be one of his coaches. So mm-hmm. I think that's very pure as well.
Totally.
If you're absolutely. Willing to help me or your client get to that next level, saying, you know what, mm-hmm. I think you are ready to graduate up. Or maybe you've gone a different path and you need somebody for that one path right now. Like the person I hired to help me with the podcast launch, that wasn't my normal coach. That was somebody different. I specifically brought them mm-hmm. on for a 3-month period just to ramp mm-hmm. up mm-hmm. because I needed that. So, totally. And everybody's different, right? Mm-hmm. So is there any examples that you've actually for yourself been the same way? Like, give me an example of that. Have you ever had to transition from a coach to another coach like that?
I haven't transitioned from one coach to another. I do hire people specifically for specific things.
Okay,
you know, like the last coach I hired, I'm a really good digital marketer. I haven't always been the greatest at sales, and some people don't understand the difference, but there's just such a huge difference.
Definitely a difference.
And so, and so the last coach, I hadn't hired a business coach in a really long time. And the last one I hired him specifically because he is incredible at high ticket sales. And I was like, oh, I don't really know how to do that. I know how to sell digital programs that are $2,000 or $1,000, but selling a $25,000 consulting package, I've never done that. Well, then I did it.
Leap.
So it was cool. You know, then I did it and I was like, okay, cool. This is great. So that was good. And then, you know, I worked with him for a year and now I'm transitioning out of it, but it's like we signed a year contract and I stuck with that. And there was ups and downs and ebbs and flows, but at the same time, I've gotten so much value out of it. And now I'm like, okay, I get how to do high ticket sales. I'm cool.
So you would say then, even if it was only a year's time, mm-hmm. and even with the ebbs and flows and ups and downs, you still took a lot of value out of that relationship.
Oh my God. Okay. I made like one social media post that I was able to close $72,500 in sales from, and I never would have been able to do that. And that was, you know, he's not inexpensive, but that more than covered the cost of the year.
Nice.
So, you know, and I did a whole lot of other things as well. So
well, it is also nice to know the numbers in the end. It's like, yep, wash. So, yeah, it's like
it
makes
was
a little bit easier.
Totally invaluable, immeasurably invaluable experience.
And I think that's something that's helped me back in the past too. And I still might have a little struggle with that. Is that if I see the new coaching relationship, I know that I'm going to have to pay more. And that's at first you get that initial, ooh, wow, that's going to be that's the next level. But it's totally. Like, okay, but what if, right? You pay that, mm-hmm. but now. What if in a year's time, you've made more than what that ever paid for, and now you're making that all the time? Isn't it worth it? And I think it's just it's just very hard for a lot of us to, I think, initially to get over that first mm-hmm. hurdle.
Yeah. And I think people won't, if people do have big goals, they probably won't get there without investing to the point of it being a little scary.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely an important thing to do. Not all the time and not foolishly, but definitely you're not going to get away with not doing it once in a while.
Yeah.
don't throw your money out the window of a moving car, but
no, do the research, like see if there's testimonials, you know, check other, you know, ask for other clients, see if they have any feedback. Testimonials are huge. It helps reinforce and solidify things versus just lowering the window or opening the sunroof and saying, wee,
totally.
I mean, it's like, you probably did the same thing for your surf lessons, right? Let's be real. Like you probably did a little bit of research to figure out who's going to be a good surf instructor, make sure you don't drown or
Get,
hit some coral in the reef, you know, all that stuff you see in the movies when people get injured surfing. I'm like,
totally.
Come on. I told you, I took one lesson, man. I sucked. But it's like, we all start somewhere.
Totally. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. I'm not very athletic at all, so I'm just hoping.
What's the countdown on that?
Probably in a week or so.
Okay. Oh, you don't have a hard date set yet?
What?
You don't have a hard date set yet?
No, because I have a couple more masterminds that I'm going to be in, and it just needs to be after that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, figure that out and get that committed and keep me in a loop. I want to see a photo or something. I don't.
Okay. Because
I love that. I love it when people step out of their comfort zone. That's the only way change and success can be achieved. Like, we can't keep doing. It's the definition of insanity. Like, you keep doing the same thing and over again, and you expect a different result.
Totally.
No, can't happen. So now. We're coming to the end of our time, so I kind of hinted at it earlier at the beginning of the show. You being the co-host, I want you to have the final words before I close the show out. So is there anything that's been resonating in your head this whole time? Like, do you think, you know what, again, as I hinted, like, if our listeners forget everything that we just talked about, like, what is it? What is that higher level thing that you want to kind of leave behind so they can remember this about you and hopefully get them to like and follow you?
I think that what you and I have both agreed on in this conversation repeatedly is that you need to find your own way and you need to find your own authentic way forward. And at the same time, you also need guidance. You need mentors, you need structures, you need systems. So it's that space between direct response and story, which are opposites and both have really good things in them. It's that space between like being super original and also following proven systems, right? It's like, that's for health. That's for business. That's for life. Like, find that middle path for yourself and you'll get there.
I love that. Find that middle path and you'll get there. Nice. Well, hang tight, I'll give you a proper goodbye. So guys, ladies, gentlemen, all of you, thank you for listening to another powerful Live the Fuel show. We definitely played more in the business world, but as you could tell, we went more of a holistic approach because that's how Kylie rolls. So as I hinted before, you guys could check her out at KylieSlavik.com. Facebook, she's out there on Kylie. Kylie. Actually, that's another important thing. Like and follow her at Successful Visionary. So if you do the whole at Successful Visionary in the Facebook world, you'll be able to bring up her page, like and follow her, man. See what she's got going on. Like I said, though, go check out KylieSlavik.com. She's on Twitter. She's everywhere. She's a marketer. Of course, she's going to be everywhere. So again, guys, that's another Live the Fuel show. This is what we're all about. Keep living the fired up epic life, and we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you.
Hey there, Live the Fuel fans. Quick commercial break. Before we close out the episode, just wanted to give you some extra tips and tricks before we send you on your way. So again, thank you again for listening to the Live the Fuel show. I hope you got a lot out of this recent episode. More importantly, please subscribe to the show if you haven't subscribed yet. Stay in touch. Get me some feedback. Submit a review on iTunes or Stitcher and get us the voice of you, the listener, so we can build this content back into the show and make sure that I'm actually taking you, the listener, into this design and future as Live the Fuel grows. So again, subscribe, submit a review, stay in touch. Heck, on that point, go visit livethefueltank.com. Livethefueltank.com. That will take you to the link to our private Facebook group community where you can join and I can stay more in touch with you going forward outside of the podcast world. All right, last quick little piece here for you guys, some extra value. One, go to livethefuel.com main page. You'll see on there we have our free resources guide. If you are looking for free content and not having to pay for it, consider getting on my email list. You click on the button, send me my copy, get your Super Sevens resources guide. There's over 21 of my favorite online resources that I've built into this little electronic guide for you guys. There's no cost. It'll just be emailed to you just by hopping on my email. Again, just thank you for listening. I want to give you some value. Second piece of my little extra nuggets of knowledge, if you want to call it this, is go to the resources section on the site. In there, I have three columns, health, business, lifestyle. And two, right off the bat, that I want to make sure you guys are taking advantage of is number one, eatpillynuts.com. And number two, villacapelli.com. Their logos are on the site. You got a big bowl of nuts there. And you got a cool big V, Power V logo. Both of those, if you use the discount code FUEL, F-U-E-L, you will get 10% off at checkout. So take advantage of that, please, and thank you. And more importantly, there's other companies linked on there. My nutritional and health alignment with Isagenix since 2010. The Pure Vitamin Club company for their kick-ass magnesium, B12, and an awesome multi-cap. There's some additional business resources on there. Number one, Singularis IT. I go mountain biking and road cycling with the founder. This is a legitimate IT company. I don't care where you are in the world, you can use their services. We're talking about serious white glove level services. I've moved all of my IT solutions over to them, and I outsource them regularly for any future and onboarding clients down the road. And lastly, but not leastly, David Studio. If you have no clue who this guy is, guess what? He is my new audio engineer. This is the guy I've been having making it happen behind the scenes. I found him through the Fiverr world. So if you search for David, D-A-V-I-D, Studio on Fiverr, you can track this guy down. But guess what? He's also on the Upwork platform. He's on the People Per Hour platform. You can search for him through his real name. I've never literally physically met this guy or talked to him in person. We have been just met through the online world. But if you search for E-M-I-N, that's I believe pronounced Emin, and Fikic, which is F as in Frank, I-K-I-C, you can search for him in Upwork, People Per Hour. Oh, more importantly, just go to Fiverr like I did. But if you are a podcaster or somebody just looking to get quality audio engineering, this is your guy. So again, guys, I'll let you get back to your day. Thanks again for listening to Live the Fuel. We'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.